Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at another episode here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. As usual, I want to thank my Heavenly Father for waking me up this morning. I also want to send a special prayer out to those individuals in Texas that were basically involved in that shooting, which is sad that it looks like sometimes it looks like now they don't even want to go into church. But you know what? I went to church anyway, so I'm going to praise them in spite of. But let's keep these individuals in our prayer because we really got to be more mindful and we got to have more of a sense of awareness of what's going on with individuals around us, in our community, and even in our local churches. Which brings me to our topic today. Today we're going to be talking about human sex trafficking awareness. As many of you may not know, the month of January is the awareness and the time that they chose that month of January, meaning January 11th, to discuss the topic. However, I wanted to bring this topic to individuals' awareness before then because kids are going to be out of school during the Thanksgiving holidays. We got Christmas coming up. And I want you guys to be more aware of what's going on with your teens, tweens, and young adults. Because a lot of times we miss the signs of a lot of different things. So I want to ask you, what do you know about human sex trafficking? Did you also know that prostitution may soon be legal in California? As many may not have heard about the Senate bill SB 1322 regarding commercial sex for minors. So the reason for this show is so that we can get informed, get involved, protect our children, protect our young adults. And also, if you had a teen or tween, would you know if they are involved in a prostitution ring, human beings, human sex trafficking? So let's talk. If you want to call in and you have something to share, call in at 516-387-1914. So I'm going to join my special guest. Hello, how are you doing? Can you hear me? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Johnson? Yes, I can hear you
now.
Can
you hear me?
I can. So I want the listeners to know, I want to first welcome my guest, Dr. Marlene Carson, to the show. And I want to thank you for reaching out to me and wanted to talk about this topic for a lot of reasons. One, as you know, when we were talking on the phone, is I didn't want to wait until January because a lot of stuff is already going on in our community, in our world today. And individuals, we need to be prepared. Failing to plan is planning to fail. Failing to plan is planning to fail. And when it comes to our teens, tweens, and youth, we really need to do a lot better and stop saying it's none of my business. They can do whatever they want to do. But I want to tell you, when I was doing my research last night, I could not sleep based on the stuff that I was looking at and coming across.
But I want
to say, I commend you for the work that you do. So I want the listeners to know that Dr. Marlene Carson is an author, a courage coach, a minister, a Sir Thrivist, which you're going to tell me what that means, a publisher and founder of a Rehab Hideaway and a CEO of Switch Anti-Trafficking Network, and you're also a victim, as you was victimized at the age of 15. Now, she also travels the world educating others on human trafficking, covering the scope and nature of the problem, trafficking routes, trends, and patterns, and related issues, including the rule of law, such as corruption, money laundering, pimp control, and the transnational criminal activities. So, you know what? I didn't think that there was anybody out there that did more work than me, but I have my hats off to you. I commend you for your work. That's a lot of work.
Thank you.
But you first got to tell me, what is a Sir Thrivist? What is that?
A Sir Thrivalist. It's a Sir Thrivalist. And so I coined myself or branded myself as a Sir Thrivalist, which is a survivor that has survived human trafficking, thriving in ministry, business, and entrepreneurship, and reviving with the spirit of revival, reviving dead dreams, vision, and purpose.
Okay, because I did not know what that meant. So I just don't want to be
cursing myself.
I guess I should thrive Compton. I should thrive my mama. I should thrive my marriage. I should thrive people getting on my nerves. So there's a
all
lot
the
of
above,
us out there.
Trust me.
So, but the main thing today is to encourage and empower individuals and give individuals a sense of awareness of basically what's going on. Now, when we talk about human sex trafficking, do you know that it wasn't until I was part of an organization called Seroptimus International, and it was an organization for women empowering children, and we had to do some footwork. We had to go to a lot of the train stations. We went to the bus stations, and we were passing out flyers. Do you know that a lot of individuals still have not heard of human sex trafficking? They don't even know what it means. So why don't you give our listeners, those who have never heard of sex trafficking, explain to them what sex trafficking is.
I will, and that's a very good question. It's kind of it's mind-boggling that a lot of people in the world don't know what human trafficking is, which I'm going to tell you in the most layman terms that I possibly can. And so whenever you hear the word human sex trafficking, you'll hear three words. Those words are force, fraud, or coercion. So human sex trafficking is when you when someone by force, fraud, or coercion coerces or forces or fraud someone into exchanging sex for money, exchanging sex for gifts. In the case of a lot of our teenagers, exchanging sex for a meal or a place to sleep or my nails getting done.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just as simple as that.
And it's interesting because a lot of times when you talk, when I'm thinking about this, I was also a foster care social worker at one point. And even when I worked in group homes, a lot of girls thought that was the rite of passage. And didn't know their worth. But then I want to say that there are some individuals, like you talked about the word coercion or the force. They were forced into it. They got tricked or, you know, they were told, I have a guy, he's a photographer, and he can get you into modeling. And so they get tricked. But when you talked about the meal, I had to think about that because my first boyfriend might say I sold myself out for a Big Mac, you know, a number one, but it wasn't about all of that. But the thing is, when you talk about these things, they don't realize it because they get in it blindly in some cases, and they don't know how to get out of it. And I want to share, when I was doing my research, I also saw where parents had been arrested. A lot of individuals, it's coming to the light, but it's not at a complete stop because one of the things is a lucrative business. So when you start talking about the modern-day slavery and when you start talking about sex, and I know when we had the conversation and we were talking about even in Los Angeles and we were talking about the World Series and how a lot of individuals were being transported to L.A. just for sex. It just saddened me. I was like, you got to be kidding me that they got the nerve to be doing this to kids. Now, when we start talking about the trafficking victimization, it has many faces. And a lot of times it's a common theme, and the theme can include poverty, the inability to access needs, long histories of abuse and neglect. Now, you're going to get into your story because your story is awesome. And I know you do a lot of work. I know you, the organizations, which I want you to share about. But when we start talking about that sex trade involving amongst young people running away from abusive homes, individuals that were thrown away by their families, or that because in some cases their families may have been unwilling to accept their sexual orientation or gender identity. Tell me what happened in your case.
I will definitely tell you that. Can I mention something you said earlier? I need you to know that 51% of the minors that are being trafficked are vulnerable to it because of relationships, because of they want a boyfriend or they just want to be loved. So 51% is just for my story. I grew up in an area where it was a community. It was a real community. So I give an example. If I got in trouble down the street, every parent had permission to whip my tail until I got home. That was the community. And then they were going to call my mother and tell my mother what I did, and then I was really going to get a whooping when I got home. And so we lived in a very, what we thought was a safe community. However, a couple moved into our area when I was 13 years old. And when they moved into the area, when I look back now, I tell people that they courted our whole entire neighborhood. They became indoctrinated in the school. They were the hangout house. They knew all the parents. They knew what parents were going through divorce, what parents were financially struggling. And they kind of met needs, and they filled gaps. They built a trust and rapport with all these parents and kids in our community. And so at around age 14, they started asking us, ask your parents if you can go to the zoo. Well, the zoo is only 45 minutes from where we live, so it was no big deal. And then they would say, ask, can you go to Kings Island? Well, that was an hour and a half away. And the trips actually started getting further and further away until one Labor Day weekend, prior to Labor Day weekend, they said, ask your parents, can you go to New York City with us? Now, at that time, I had been modeling just about somewhere everywhere, and that was a huge desire of mine. However, I had never been to New York City. And so my parents said, absolutely not. You are not going to New York City with these people. Even though they knew them, they had a 2-year relationship with them, they said no. But I'm going to tell you something. The trafficker literally told me, ask your mother when she's in a crisis.
Wow.
Ask your mother. Right. Ask your mother when she's on the phone. And so basically, when I look back now, he was saying, ask her when she's distracted. That's what he was really saying. And so the day came when my aunt was in a crisis. My mother was helping, and I asked her at that point, and she said, yeah, girl, just get on out of here. And so I had my yes. Even though it was a half-hearted yes, I had my yes. It was a husband and a wife, and we didn't know this, but she was his first victim, and we had no clue. And so they took three girls and myself to New York City. We actually drove to New York City, and we sung gospel songs all the way to New York City. We had a ball in this van. Then they took us to Canal Street when we got there, and they told us to come back around 8 o'clock to go see a Broadway show. And little did we know that we were the show. We get back to the hotel, and they had all these clothes hanging around the walls of the hotel, and they were mind you, I'm 15 years old. I'm a virgin girl raised in the church. I don't even think I had ever seen a rap video at that point, okay? And so, at least not at my house, because we didn't have cable, and we grew up in that type of household. Well, they gave me a blue lace dress with pasties and a thong and told me to put that on. And when I refused to put it on, the wife looked at me and said, just do it. Another girl lipped off at the guy. He smacked her, and it just got real at that point. And that weekend, I was sold 27 times over that weekend. And so, it got a little
And you know
real.
What? I hear it in your voice, and I commend you for the work that you've done also within yourself, because it sounds like the first thing they did was they built that trust. They led you to believe that they were there to help you. And then to see that there was a husband and a wife, it kind of makes the defenses in most cases go down, because there's different types of pimps. There's different types of coercion. And when people try to lure you, and like I said, when you're talking about a couple and parents, especially African-American parents, you know, we're strict, some not trusting, but then like you said, you catch them when you want to say, get out of my face. Or just going
right,
and that is wow. That right there, and it lets parents need to be more aware of who your kids are connected to, even if it is a couple, even if they are in the church, because there'd be a lot of stuff going on, and we use our blinders beyond, because we have this sense of, you know, it's not going to happen to my kid, or you know, but wow. Now,
you're absolutely right. So many parents think that it's not my child and it won't happen to my child. I was just reading about there's an organization on the internet called Sugar Daddies. Sugar Daddy mm-hmm. is a legal website for prostitution. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, and they target college kids. Well, there's 3 million college girls listed on Sugar Daddies. And so one lady, I was telling the parent about it, and she said, well, my daughter would never do that. And I said, ma'am, mm-hmm. that may be the case, but 3 million daughters did.
Correct. Correct. And I'm just thinking because, see, my mother had 3 daughters. So there was 3 of us, and I was the oldest. And she was very strict, but she left up to her hair. She probably was trying to pimp us out herself. You know, because I remember her telling me, you know, the guy next door, he got money. He got, oh, like, I'm 16 years old, 17 years old. Wow. You want to date him, you date him. You ain't going to be just giving me away. So but a lot of times they don't know any better, and especially depending on the self-esteem also of the parent. Now, I want to say in regards to recruitment tactics, because there are different types of pimps. You know, we have the gorilla pimp. We have the Romeo pimp. We got the CEO pimp, and a lot of times, like you said, these are young ladies and young men that are looking for love. They're looking for acceptance. A lot of times, even with the gorilla pimp will use force, kidnapping, violence, and drugs or blackmail to overpower their prey. And they target teens at parties. They target them in the mall, on social media, or anywhere lacking responsible supervision. You know, so they'll tell them, you know what, come on and go to the party with me. Or don't tell anyone where you're going. Or I don't want to do it if you say, you know, these things. So, you know, there's a lot of different tactics. Now, the Romeo pimp, that's the scary one. Because the Romeo pimp will use charm, gifts, flattery to romance their prey. The target prey are girls or young men looking for love and acceptance. Runaway, sweet, naive young men and women. They'll tell you, I love you. Nobody else understands you but me. I'll give you the world that you deserve, and I can't live without you. And what happens is you got to be careful in certain things you have to watch for. Then we have, which is the third one that I was talking about, which is the CEO pimp. The CEO pimp will use money and business strategies to swindle the prey. They target aspiring models, entertainers, especially naive young women away from home, meaning telling them I'm an agent or you have what it takes to make it in this industry. Trust me, this is strictly business, or I could make you rich. And I have, like I said, I have 2 adult children, and I remember when my daughter, because my daughter is very talented. She could sing, she could act. But it was something about the industry that turned my daughter off. She never wanted to talk about it. I had to leave it alone. But then she also told me, Mom, they make more money behind the scenes than the person that's in front of that camera. And I had to respect that. But a lot of times when people put fear and use threats or tell you, I'm going to kill your family, or I'm going to kill you, a lot of times people don't know what to do. And that's
especially
one of the ways of keeping
teenager.
The victim victimized. Correct.
Especially
correct.
If it's a teenager, you, if at 15 years old, that's the fear of God. You threatened to kill my mother? Yeah, they put the fear of God in you.
Wow. Now, in regards to, and like I said, for the listeners that are out there listening, if you want to call in on a show and you want to join in on a conversation, give us a call at 516-387-1914. We would love to hear from you. You can be anonymous. You don't have to give us your name because, like I said, this is to bring a sense of awareness. This is to try to help those individuals that are struggling, those that want to get out, because there are a lot of organizations which we're going to be sharing some information. But, Marlene, I want to ask you a question. I was, like I said, when I was doing my homework, I saw that Jada Pinkett Smith worked with CNN back in 2015 on a documentary. And the documentary was entitled Children for Sale, The Fight to End Human Trafficking, and to shed light on this growing epidemic. Now, that was in 2015, which is 2 years ago. Now, individuals have been arrested because I was finding a lot of stuff and, you know, a lot of raids that's been done, even in Oceanside. I remember when CNN came to Oceanside and they had did this big old sting, and they arrested 35 gang members and pimps, and there were a lot of kids at the high schools, and they wanted me to go in and talk to these young children about their trauma and the PTSD that they had experienced. Because a lot of times, when even when they are rescued or even when they're in a, when there's an intervention, a lot of times people don't know what to do. They don't know how to help individuals that have experienced such a traumatic event because they don't understand it. You know, as I'm talking to you, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know what, if somebody would have tried to, first of all, they would have had problems with me. I would have been complaining all the time. I'd be like, tell you what I'm not going to do. And if you told me you're going to kill my mama, I'll tell you, take your chances on that one. You know, so, but that's me. And it doesn't mean everybody is like that. But by that same token, I can see where individuals can be afraid. Now, you did an article, and I want you to talk about, you talked about unveiling the myths. Tell the listeners a little bit about what you were telling individuals as you were talking about the dispelling the myth and unveiling the truth about sex trafficking.
There are so many myths and misconceptions in regards to domestic minor sex trafficking or human trafficking. And this is why it's hard to get the mindset of people that have never been exposed to the life to understand the life of a victim of human trafficking. One of the myths is that she chose this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a girl 12, 13 years old says, "Oh, mommy, I just cannot wait to get 14 so I can become a hoe"? I mean, that's just real. That is not real. That is not real. That's not real. Do you think that for myself to be, I say, raped 27 times, do you think somebody chooses that? We
Girl,
see
I don't
adult
even
women
touching me.
That, okay.
No, you said that. Okay. I thought about something. I was like, I don't even want nobody to touch me twice in one night. You touch me one time, I'm like, I'm done. It's a wrap. I'm done. That's too much. Wow.
Yeah, you don't know. That's just a myth. And then the other thing is that you talked about transgender or LGBTQ or kids getting put out of their homes. Do you think that these kids that are being put out of their homes because of their sexual orientation decide, well, I'll just go ahead and pimp myself out? No, that doesn't happen. That does not happen. There are so many myths and misconceptions. I'm going to tell you, we actually interviewed a former pimp. He is now in ministry, and I've been knowing him for years. But we interviewed him, and we asked him, what were the two things that he looked for in his victim? Now, he told us two things. One was she had to be ambitious. He looked for someone that was very ambitious, very outgoing, wanted to go get it, wanted to make it happen kind of person. The other thing was he looked for people in having sex with multiple partners. And so, you know, it's not always your girl who is on drugs. I've actually never been on drugs in my life. And so it's not always that girl that is on drugs, inner city, African-American, fast. It's just not that girl, especially if you're talking about real pimps, because real pimps make real money. We're not talking about the you talked about the different kind of pimps. Well, there's also a survivor pimp, and he's just pimping to survive. So he may just be on in your local hood that he got a girl that is he's pimping out to get his cigarettes and his weed or his cocaine or his heroin, whatever he's doing. But he's using a girl's body to get it. So he's just doing what he does to survive. And the fact of the go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening. I was gonna say we got a caller coming in, but I hope it's not a prank call. But I want you to keep talking, and I'm gonna log this person in a minute. But
So the fact of the matter is there are many myths and misconceptions. Some people believe that human trafficking only happens in third world countries, that it doesn't happen in the United States of America, in the land of the free, in the home of the brave, right? Well, that's definitely a myth. Not only does it happen in the U.S. of A., I can probably show you where it happens in your neighborhood.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. We're definitely going to talk about that. Let me join this caller, and then I want to talk about some of the areas. Let me see who this is. Hi, this
Hello?
Is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to, hi, this is Jeanette. How are you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing well. And what would you
honestly,
like to
I'm not doing that well.
Oh, God, let me hang this up. Mm-mm. This
I got
goes
into some...
Right.
Yeah, that didn't sound right at all.
No, that didn't sound right. You know what? And I get some prank phone calls. I don't know why people want to. Girl, somebody pranked me the other day talking about, you've been sleeping with my man and you called him my man. And I'm on the phone talking about, ma'am. And, well, why is my number on your phone, your number on his phone? I was like, I started getting upset because the person wouldn't listen to me. And it was like, you've been pranked. Ooh, I was so mad. I want to know who pranked
you. Oh, my gosh, are you kidding?
They didn't prank me on my office phone. I was so pissed off. You don't prank me talking about my number was on your man's phone. Okay, so let's get back to the topic. So I got to be careful with these phone calls because I don't need no interruption, especially when we're talking about something of importance as such. Now, when I was doing my research, and I was looking at the information, and like you talked about your age, the average age of a teen that enters into the sex trade in the United States is between the ages of 12 to 14 years of age. And I also learned that California basically harbors three of the FBI's highest child sex trafficking areas in the nation, which is Los Angeles, San Francisco, and San Diego. And that is part of my stepping grounds, except for the San Francisco. Let me see. We have another caller. Hopefully this is not another prank call. Give me 1 second. Hi, Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
I have some bad news I want to share with you. I just got...
Okay, this person still want to keep playing on my phone. Okay, so God bless them. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus. So I wish them well. So in regards to that, also, the National Human Trafficking Hotline also received more phone calls from the state of Texas than any other state in the U.S. And they indicated, according to the information that I found, is that 15% of those calls are coming from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And it also indicated that between 14,000 to 17,000 people are trafficked in the United States each year. And according to the United States Department, 600,000 to 800,000 people are trafficked across international borders every year, which is about 80% of them are females and half of them are children. So, like I said, I guess that's where a lot of that is coming from in regards to why it's, you know, it's so much of an industry in regards to money. Because the one thing we know is that sex sales, it's a moneymaker. Sex sales. And the sad part about it is, and, it, you know, even though there's a lot of different operations that are occurring, they had one that was called Operation Cross Country.
Oh, yeah, FBI.
And it. Yes, and it ran from October the 12th to the 15th, and that alone led to the arrest of 8 human traffickers and 46 adults temporarily being taken into custody in both the Detroit and the Flint, Michigan area. Of that, 84 minors were rescued, and 120 traffickers was arrested. So when I'm looking at all this, and then I'm looking at Michigan, like I said, is number 7 in the nation in regards to human trafficking based on phone calls. In regards to, so they're keeping records of this, but the sad part about it is a lot of people don't know what to do when this is happening. We got one more call. This looks like a legitimate number. So let me log this person in and see what they have to say. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Precious Predicaments. How are you doing?
Do you think you could lend me some money?
Oh, my God. This person is just calling me from all kind of phone numbers.
Wow.
This is like the third of my time.
Right.
So, okay. So, so I guess it's just going to be me and you for a minute because somebody want to play on the phone. Now, I'm looking at an article, and this article is called Scary Mommy. And it indicates that my daughter was almost the victim of human sex trafficking. Now, I believe you indicated that you have kids. How many children
yes,
do you
ma'am.
Have?
I have 4 children.
Okay. And I think I read something that said you had 4 children before age 22.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, with that being said, and knowing your experience, how did you see your parenting in regards to having children? Were you concerned? Because as I look at this article called Scared Mommy, a lot of times when individuals have been victimized or sexually assaulted, sometimes they can be overprotective over their children. Sometimes they could be more understanding. So kind of share with the parents how you had to parent your children or what was your experience in regards to that, especially you being a survivor.
Well, I will say this. I had no parenting skills. You have to think about it. I had children at 16, 17, 19, and 20.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid. I was a baby myself with 4 babies. And so, to me, my parenting skills did not kick in until I was actually a grandmother.
Okay.
And that's just honest with you. You know, we did the best that I could, the best to my capacity. But I didn't have much of a capacity being taken at 15, dealing with the trauma that I encountered, and then having children. So praise God that my children are fine. They're okay. They're not strung out. They're, you know, they're doing very well, actually. They're doing very well. But that came later in my years after the life and after a lot of counseling and things like that, because what I went through was very traumatic. It was extremely traumatic. And so having children in that traumatized state, it was just a miracle that we all made it out in a good mental health condition, really.
That is awesome. We have another caller calling in. Hopefully this is not the same mess. It got a question mark next to it. I think this question mark is kind of letting me know who to click on, who not to click on. Let me see if I can click this person. Hi, this is Jeanette Abney. Welcome to Pigment Blog Talk Radio. May I help you?
I need to feed my cats. I need you.
Mercy
won't money. Lord have mercy. You know what? This is just ridiculous. So, okay. So getting back to that, and like I said, with your parenting, and a lot of times I always tell individuals when we know better, we do better. And being a parent, especially at a young age, is a journey. And, you know, we do the best we can with the skills that we have. And a lot of times when individuals are going through, like I said, you could either become overprotective as a parent or you can, you know, when I was reading the article of the one where the parent was actually arrested for human trafficking in regards to her own children, I was like, wow. Now, when I was looking at the scary mommy.
There's parents that sell their kids. I was absolutely
astonished
over the number of parents that are selling their kids for drugs and all this kind of thing. I just never thought I'd see a day when we would sell our kids.
I know. Okay, now this looks like a legitimate caller. So let me see, because we don't have a question mark next to it. So, I mean, that person is calling me from all kind of numbers. So let me know this person in. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Hi. Thank you for calling the show. I got to make sure, you know, we're getting some real callers because somebody want to call and play on the phone, and we ain't got time for that.
Okay.
So what would you like to add to this topic?
Well, we work on a sex trafficking in California, so I was trying to find out exactly what you were discussing and how it can contribute to some of the things that we do.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about what you do, because that was one of the things in our show. I do want to offer resources and support for individuals, because I had shared before when I went on FaceTime, if you are a victim, if you are caught up and you're scared and don't know what to do, because they do have a National Human Trafficking Hotline number, which is 373-7888. And one of the things that Dr. Marlene Carson indicated was the therapy that she had to go through and the trauma that she experienced. So tell me, or tell the listeners, a little bit about your organization.
Okay, we have a drop-in center in the city of Compton that we service the young girls to the older women, actually from 17 and up. We provide them with a place to rest, with snacks, counseling, diversion classes from the courts when they're ordered by the courts, toiletries, showers, some clothing. We also participate in sting. We also participate in stings with the police department.
And we also
go out in the street and talk to them.
Gotcha. What is the name of the organization? Because I missed the name of the organization.
Restoration Diversion Services.
Restoration. Okay. And is there a phone number that you can give us?
310-639-1695.
Okay, so that's 310, you said 639, you said 1695. Okay.
1695.
Okay, so let me repeat that number again. So if you are in the Los Angeles Compton area and you are looking for a place to go, if you are a runaway or if someone has transported you down to the L.A. Compton area to engage in prostitution and you want to help, they have a drop-in center in the city of Compton, and the number to call is 310-639-1695. And I want to thank you for sharing that information because me growing up in Compton, I wouldn't have known where to go. I wouldn't have known what to do because we didn't – if those things or those services was available, we didn't know. We really didn't know. And, you know, and I did find something in regards to they have a special court also that helps aid in the human sex trafficking in regards to it was an article that I found in the San Diego Tribune. And like I said, it's a special court that seeks to aid teen sex trafficking victims with support and rehabilitation because trying to rehabilitate someone can be a challenge. Especially when they have already been deceived, when they already feel that they cannot trust anyone, when they knew what to expect, sometimes change can be scary. We lost the caller. I think they called me back, so let me log them back on again, or this may be another one. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Here is Precious Predicament. How are you doing? Hello? Okay, I guess they want to listen and just don't want to say anything. Last number, 1355, I just logged you on. They hung up. Okay, I guess people want to play. We ain't got time to be playing. Now, we are 22 minutes left in the show. And, you know, like I said, if you want to call and share some information, they're calling me back. Give me 1 second.
How much would you say you paid your last hooker for sex, roughly?
You know what? I don't know who that is, but they really need to knock it off because we all going to be accountable for what we do. And this right here is no joke. It's nobody, nothing to play with. And they've called me from like 7 different numbers. So like I said, I rebuke you. The devil is a liar. And whoever is behind this, they really need to knock it off. They really do because I don't know who they're playing with. Now, in regards, like I said, to the special court that seeks to aid teens and sex trafficking victims with support and rehabilitation. And this court basically, like I said, is one of the courts that they use. And they basically, it took a group of prosecutors, a judge, a public defender, probation officer, and a social worker. And it took a year to get to that point. And on November the 6th, they indicated that youngsters, most likely girls, were chosen to participate and expected to make their first appearance before, and I guess it was a San Diego court judge, named Carolyn Colletti in an inaugural hearing. And with that hearing, they found that a lot of kids have this horrible, nightmarish existence, and it's going to take a lot to get them back so that they feel that they can recover back their self-worth and their sense of security. Now, the person that called in regards to the program, tell us a little bit about your experience in regards to working with these young ladies or young men that you work with.
Is that to me or to the ladies not on the line?
Either one. Either one. Okay, Marlene, you can share because you also have an organization. Marlene, tell us about your organization because the other person didn't say anything. But tell us about your organization and your work with individuals in regards to helping them to learn to trust again, to feel safe again, to help them restore their self-esteem. Where do you start?
Sure. So you start exactly where they are. So in 2008, I started an organization called Rehab's Hideaway, which is a housing organization for victims of human trafficking. And literally you start, each individual that comes to our program is different. And so you start where they are. That's why you cannot do this in a cookie cutter manner. Each case is different. The trauma is different. Their mindset, their background, the culture where they live is different. And so I'll tell you about one girl in particular. She was one of our first girls that came. Both of her parents were dead before she was 10.
Wow.
She was in the foster care system. Around 13 years old, a pimp got a hold of her and trafficked her from 13 till around 18. We met her when she just had turned 19 after she had been living in the green dumpster that we put our trash in outside. She had lived in that for 8 months, getting away from a pimp. When she came into our program, literally social workers told me, don't invest in her. She's a throwaway and she's a runner. And don't take the time, the resources to put in her because she's not going to stay. Well, you can look this young lady up because 14 months later, that same lady, that same young girl that they said not to invest in, graduated valedictorian from her high school class. And so you meet them where they are. Yeah, you meet them where they are. And that's the same with some of the boys that we help. You meet them where they are. Every case is different. I would never use a blanket program. And I'm not saying that some of their program has all of the same foundation. However, how you build that person up and how we build that customized program for them can look very, very different. But so you just meet them where
they are. And you know what, and that's interesting because I am a licensed therapist, and I have 5 different office locations. I have an office in Fullerton, Garden Grove, Huntington Beach, Oceanside, and Marietta. And I'm supposed to be coming to Compton, but I got to find an office location, and I got to find a day of the week that I can go to Compton. But the thing is, one of the things is I always say, you have to be able to connect before you can correct any type of behavior.
Sure.
And even me as a therapist, I work with children, I work with adults, I do domestic violence groups, anger management groups. Myself, I have another co-therapist by the name of Dr. Lisa Romaine, and we kind of use the good cop, bad cop approach sometimes because I'm very well-rounded in a lot of different areas. And even me being on the radio is a way of trying to offer therapeutic techniques to individuals that are afraid of the taboo of therapy because they think everybody, all they do is for the money. They don't care. But I'm a therapist and I do care, and I'm very passionate about what I do. And you do have to meet them where they are to try to help them where they go. And you have to remember that everybody have a gift. Everybody is worthy. And no matter what you've been told, you have to stop playing those tapes in your head, whether it came from your mother, your father, your pimp, your brother, whoever it was. And I tell people, the best revenge is success. To know that you have made it through. It's not where you are, it's where you're going to be. And a lot of times individuals, they give up because they continue to carry that and victimize themselves and they sabotage things. So I love hearing those type of stories. Now, we have 16 minutes left in the show. Now, you and I were talking about something, and I looked it up after our conversation. And one of them was that Senate bill that is out in regards to SB 1322, and it is the Commercial Sex Act for Minors. And when I looked at that bill, I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me. So when we start not only talking about these bills, these laws, and we have a lot of pedophiles running around here and a lot of individuals, you know, and I'm not saying that everyone that has been molested or abused will abuse or molest others, but if you know that is you, get some help. Do not continue to repeat the cycle and continue to victimize and hurt other people because of what has happened to you. And a lot of times individuals don't know how to deal with that emotional pain. But when you start talking about these bills, it makes me wonder because you're looking at all of these individuals that are being arrested for messing or getting caught with child pornography or molesting their children. Now, when you talk about that bill, tell me, and we also talked about in California, basically, not only that, we were talking about even prostitution being legalized in the state of Nevada, because a lot of times people say, what happens in Vegas, stay in Vegas. Now, just that bill alone, tell me what you were talking about when you told me about the legalization of prostitution in the state of California, because I got the bill right in front of my face right here.
Sure,
but tell us
sure,
about
sure.
it from your perspective.
I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you about that. I also want to tell you about Shared Hope is an organization that is spearheaded by a U.S. Congresswoman named Linda Smith. And Shared Hope has the privilege of grading states and the attorney generals of how well they are dealing with the issue of human trafficking in their state. And they do it by a grade card. And so in 2016, the state of California received a D for their grade. They did
wow.
have an F. So they received a D. Their final score was 64.5. And this is the reason, and this goes into this law. I mean, to this bill. So it says California laws provide minimal penalties for prosecuting the demand. So basically for the buyer, the men, the women who buy sex, they have very little penalties for them. The human trafficking law protects victims of child sex trafficking without requiring proof of force, fraud, or coercion. However, mm-hmm. paying for sex act with a minor and benefiting financially, listen at this, from assisting or enabling a sex trafficking act are not punishable under the human trafficking law. What in the world?
I know.
So,
I know.
So what I'm saying to you is, can pimp a girl out or a boy out, arrange to have sex with a minor, enable them to, you know, to get that done? And enabling sex trafficking are not punishable under the human trafficking law?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big problem. That's a big problem. Number one, that's
it
a big
is.
Problem. You can look that up on sharedhope.org, go into the Protected Innocence Challenge, look up the states. California has a report card in there. Now, mm-hmm. in regard to Senate Bill 1322, it is absolutely just unbelievable that the state of California is trying to legalize prostitution.
Mm-hmm, it is. And this is what it says.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says SB 1322 bars enforcement from arresting sex workers who are under the age of 18 for soliciting or engaging in prostitution or loitering with the intent to do so. So teenage girls and boys in California will soon be free to have sex in exchange for money without fear of arrest for prostitution.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
So normally where children can't mm-hmm. even consent to sex, now they're saying it's okay to sell it. And literally I read one report that said if you can give it away, then you should be able to sell it.
I know. I saw that too. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But you know what? But then when you start talking about that, and even when I'm working with children and I'm working with a young adult, I tell them that sex is not only physical, it's also psychological. So
it
messes with your mind as much as messing with mm-hmm. your body. I remember my grandmother mm-hmm. used to tell me when I was a kid, and I hate to curse, but she used to say, don't fuck yourself in the bad health. And I used to be like,
okay.
How do you do that? So when it messed my head up. So when I started hearing people talking about having sex with multiple partners, and I commend people like Oprah and Tyler Perry, because they put a lot of movies out there to try to meet people where they were to try to help educate them. And I remember watching the movie that he put out for colored girls, and that girl was just bragging about having sex in the back of the Chevy with the two cousins. And I'm like, that is so not cool. But
right.
that's all she knew. She thought that
right.
was her way of getting attention. And she was a beautiful girl.
If our law enforcement and the political leaders that be are saying, go do it. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
We won't punish you for it. Go do it. I mean, where does that put our children at?
I know. That's my point. And that's why I wanted to do this show today when we were talking about it. Instead of waiting to January, we need to jump on top of this now and start a form because with the legalization of it, that's going to put more of our children at risk, more of our even young adults more at risk, individuals that are craving and wanting to be with a child. It's like you need to go talk to somebody because this is getting out of control. Now, one of the things that I saw also when I was doing my research in regards to this is they are now trying to train individuals on what to look for. You know, when we start talking about training individuals, they're doing trainings for individuals that are on the airlines. So when you see a child on the at the airport, and if that child looks scared or that child is trying to give you some look to let you know that they may be human trafficked, they're putting things in the bathroom. They're putting things in places so that people can have more access to information at the bus station. I also saw, because even though, I hate to say people are having problems with some Uber drivers, but Uber drivers are also being trained to identify if a person is trying to catch a ride somewhere. Hotels, you know, working at a hotel, sometimes pimps have, they have connections with the hotels to rent the rooms their prostitutes. But then there's also workers at the hotels that are being trained that if you start seeing these type of things, you know, this is a number that you can call. Truck drivers, especially being on the road. You know, at one point we were looking at hitchhikers, and hitchhikers were being picked up by a lot of truck drivers. But they're trying to bring a sense of awareness so that individuals will not be scouted, so that they will not be lured, so that we can stop this prey and this circle. And even with the social media use, you know, a lot of times parents are not paying attention to what their kids are doing. So we need to start checking their Facebook pages. We need to start looking at their phones. We need to know who you hanging out with, where are you going. I know my mother, when I was young.
Let me tell you something. There's some, some social media sites. Kids are not on Facebook anymore. Kids are on Kick.
They got other stuff.
Kids are, right. They're on some, and parents, I've asked probably 100 parents, have they ever heard of Kick? It's K-I-K. They never even heard of it.
I never heard of it either.
Well, you should. Kick has a spider in it. K-I-K. And Kick has a spider in it that the person on the other side can actually get your physical location and you can't turn it off.
Wow.
Right.
Well,
this is dangerous.
One of the things, like I said, I have grandkids because my kids are young adults. And I talk to my grandkids, and especially my oldest granddaughter, because she's 14 years old. And I'll pick her brain and try to find out what's going on in pop culture, what's, you know, she even set up my Instagram account because, you know, I didn't know how to do that mess. But I commend them because I try to reach out to the young individuals to try to help them know, you know what, if you can talk to somebody, your parents, find somebody you can connect with
find
to let
somebody,
them know that you are in trouble. Find somebody. And like I said, monitor your child. And like I was going to say, I remember back in the day when we would go to parties, back then it was house parties, it was a lot of shooting in Compton. My mother would show up with a hood on, with her little blue robe on, and always had a .38 in her pocket. And they'd be like, Jeanette, mother's here. We run out the back door because she would let us go, but she would always show up. So we knew that was our time to go home. And I thank God she showed up because normally after she left, there was either a drive-by or something that happened or, you know, but we used to always say she was making us a nun. We couldn't get none or we couldn't have no fun. But I appreciate that now. And even when I was parent-raising my children, you know, my daughter, no, I open your mail. I go all through your stuff. We go figure this out. And you have to. You really have to.
Yeah,
and
you
it's
do.
Not
you
about
do.
Being invading their privacy. You need to know when your kids
they don't
are
have
in
any privacy.
Trouble.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Any privacy.
Correct. Because the one thing you don't want is the pimp coming to threaten you or, you know, things. It's just so much. But there is some help out there for those individuals that want help. And like I said, the number two, the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, you can call 1-800-373-7888. I have two more. No, I'm not answering that anonymous call. I'm going to leave that alone. So whoever that person was being real adamant about trying to play games. We ain't got time for no games. We really ain't got time for that. So what else do you want the listeners to know in regards to this topic. And like I said, in talking about support, oh, first I want to say before I lose train of thought, I found an article, and it indicated that in 2011, the state of Georgia had the toughest law. And it indicated that there was a 25 years minimum for anyone convicted of using coercion to traffic someone under the age of 18 and imposes a minimum of 5 years for those who pay for sex with a 16-year-old. And if the individual was younger than 16, they would face a minimum of 10 years behind bars. Now, in California, I remember attending trainings and conferences, and they were talking about they were doing like a what's called a mandatory 8-year sentence for pimps and individuals were being charged with pimping and pandering. But that was not really a stronger version because actually we see it still going on. What are, I mean, you know, I'm glad that you two young ladies are on the air with me talking about this. What are some of the tips, tools, and suggestions you can either tell our lawmakers, our police officers, because they need to be educated and more involved and informed? Our churches need to get more involved and be informed. Our schools, what would you like to see our community and our parents do to help to end human sex trafficking?
One of the things they can do is they can go to my website. My website is www.jointheswitch.org. Jointheswitch.org. On my website, I have specifically for Christian or religious organizations, I have a book and a manual that actually teaches, it's called 12 Steps to Transform the Exploited Soul, and will actually teach you how to deal and walk a trafficked victim through their process. That's number one. If you really wanted to dig in a little deeper, I also offer a courage coaching program. It is a 9-week courage coaching program. It's all online. It is live. But then it gives you access to a plethora of survivors that can help train and get you through the process of helping other victims. And right there in California, there's several things going on. A friend of mine, Harmony Duff, has an organization called Treasures. She's going to be doing a outreach and care training in the Los Angeles area. That's not until March 16th and 17th, but you can go to IamATreasure.com. And then there's another book, attorney Pamela Samuels Young. She's from Compton, and she wrote a book called Anybody's Daughter. Mm. And this can literally be anybody's daughter. So there are some resources. There are some tools available. I can always be reached at my email by going to Marlene at sending me an email at Marlene@MarleneCarson.com, and that's MARLENE at Marlene Carson, CARSON.com, and our team is here to serve.
Well, I really want to thank you for, like I said, reaching out to me, and I do want to do some work with you if you need me in any way as a therapist, whatever you need in California, because I know you are a native from Columbus, Ohio, and I am in, like I said, in Oceanside. I'm in the Orange County area, Riverside County area, San Diego County. I do a lot of work, like I said, in regards to domestic violence, family violence, child abuse, and I am more than willing to connect also with some of my Suboptimist sisters to get them more involved, to share this information. But definitely stay in touch, and I will definitely stay in touch with you because that's the only way we're going to end this and conquer this and help individuals. And the other individual that was on the line with us, I also want to thank you for calling in and sharing the information about your organization located in Compton. So I will definitely stay in touch with you also. So I want to thank you for listening and joining us here at Precious Predicaments at Blog Talk Radio. Please make sure if you are at work, you can share this information with someone that you know that may be in trouble. Look for the warning signs when it comes to human sex trafficking. And like I said, she mentioned some things, force, fraud, or coercion. And that means that they're not doing it based on their own free will or they just want to do it because they like to have sex. And a lot of times that people that have ran away from home, we don't know if they're dead or alive, they could be human sex trafficked. Join me next week as we're going to be addressing the thoughts in my head. I'm going to be talking about mental health issues affecting our youth. Because even with the shootings that happened in Texas, they always want to talk about mental health. But a lot of individuals don't know what to do, especially within the family, because it's so taboo. And we're learning that not only adults are suffering with mental health issues, so are our children. You know, we have children that are now being diagnosed with schizophrenia, that are being diagnosed with bipolar. We need to get more educated and stop being afraid and help individuals get some help, support them, and assist them so we can stop these mass shootings, terrorist acts, and things that are happening in our home and community. So join me, Jeanette Abney, next week here at Blog Talk Radio at Precious Predicaments. And until next week, remember, you've got this. Bye-bye.